The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Heritage of destiny decoration. Assessing the heritage of destiny decoration. Hallelujah. Destiny decoration is our heritage. You know, and heritage is what belongs to you. It's what is passed on to you. Hallelujah. It is for you and I. We have been designed by God to enjoy the best of destiny decoration. No, there is destiny decoration. And there is the best of destiny decoration. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been designed to enjoy the best. Yeah, we enjoy the best. We are not designed for setback or for shame. Our life is a life of blessing and favor always. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power. And what? Riches. And what? Wisdom. And what? Strength. And what? Honor. And glory. And blessings. Jesus is worthy to receive. And if we have been crucified with him, and we have resurrected with him, we are qualified for this also. So in your life, what you should exhibit is power. Because Christ has received that power for you. What you should exhibit is riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. That shall be the portion of someone this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible made it clear to us that we are designed and we are decorated with power, with riches, with wisdom, with strength, with honor and glory and blessings. That is what God has packaged in Christ Jesus. And as many that assess Jesus, assess this full package. May this full package, may it be visible, touchable, seeable in your life in the name of Jesus. This is our heritage in Christ Jesus. All our fathers of faith were decorated divinely. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They were decorated divinely. There was none of them that the destiny, you can say the destiny of this one is not decorated. No. And if this is our heritage, then we must display it. Praise the Lord. Like my father, Papa will say, in my place, they say you cannot see the king's son and not see royalty around the prince. I can remember Kamari Dan Sakioba. Praise the Lord. You cannot see the prince, the crown prince, and you will not see what? The horror of royalty. Praise the Lord. You must see the horror of royalty. He may be humble, but you will still see it. Praise the Lord. The royalty of Christ Jesus will be seen and be seen in your life in the name of Jesus. But the problem is a lot of people who are born again, who have Christ, are still living a life that is below standard, that is below expectation. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5 to 7 said, it said, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Praise the Lord. Folly is set in great dignity, and the riches sit in low place. You will not sit in low place. He said, I have seen servants riding upon horses, and the princes walking as servants upon the heart. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. This scripture means that believers, people that God has redeemed, are not taking their rightful places. And this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will take your rightful place. In the name of Jesus, God will take you out and free you from every shackles that may be holding you down in the name of Jesus. He will bring into subjection every power that is opposing your rulership in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You are a king and you are a queen. Praise the Lord. Don't allow anyone to look down on you and to tell you who you are not. Praise the Lord. If you see the cub of a lion, will you say, because it's a cub, you say it's a dog. Because it's a cub. You know, when they are cub, they look like puppies. Will you see it and say, it's a dog? No. It's still, in fact, some of us, if we see the cub of a lion, we'll run. Sincerely, if I see the cub of a lion, I will run. You know why? The father or the mother may be around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because it looks like a puppy, it does not make it a puppy. Because situations around you make it look as if you are not a royal priesthood. A holy nation does not make you to be what you think you are. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Chosen of God. Set aside. To show forth his glory and his praises. So don't allow the situation and circumstances around you to make you to start thinking that what kind of destiny is this destiny? You carry a glorious destiny. And the Lord is going to decorate it in the name of Jesus. Or maybe because an unbeliever around you is ruling. And you now think because of that, you are not what you are. No, you are a royal priesthood. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why are believers not taking their rightful places? Why are children of God not assessing their rightful places? The reason is because the scripture cannot be broken. Scripture cannot be broken. John chapter 10 verse 35. If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be what? Cannot be broken. God has called us God. Then why have we not exhibiting that God-like nature? Why? Why? Because we are not tapping into the scripture. We are not establishing and enforcing what God has said about us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap it if we faint not. Many are fainting. Many are not pursuing their God-given destiny. And the scripture cannot be broken. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall reap. Praise the Lord. You cannot sow to corruption and you want to reap incorruption. The scripture cannot be broken. You cannot be walking in unrighteousness and you want to harvest the fruit of righteousness. The scripture cannot be broken. You cannot be walking in iniquity and you want to enjoy the grace that is upon those that are walking in righteousness. The scripture cannot be broken. Hallelujah. You can be born again, but you are not walking as per the scripture. You cannot be a stingy person and you expect resources to flow into your hand. It doesn't happen. Scripture cannot be broken. As long as the head remaineth, seed time and harvest time shall never cease. You cannot be someone that don't plant and you want to harvest. Scripture cannot be broken. You cannot be somebody who does not honor the fathers, who speak evil of the fathers, and you want to enjoy a long life and the blessings of the father. The scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures cannot be broken. Say, honor thy father and thy mother, that it might be well with thee. And you say, no, who are these? Can I tell you this? Fathership or fatherhood is not about age only. Hello? Joseph was not the eldest in his father's house. But at a point, God made him to be the head. Praise the Lord. So scriptures cannot be broken. You cannot be involved in things that are contrary to the scriptures, and you want the fulfillment of the scripture and say, I am born again, I'm a child of Abraham. No. You cannot be someone who does not practice covenant practice. You don't pay tithe. And you say, let the windows of heaven be open. The windows will be shut and will be shut tight. Hallelujah. Because the scripture cannot be broken. God honors his words more than he said. So the word of God cannot be broken. And that is why a lot of believers don't exercise, don't exhibit the kind of glory, power, riches, honor that God has released unto us. Why? Because we are working in contrary to the scriptures. And as long as you are working against the scripture, you cannot get to your destination spiritually. If I'm going to Lagos and I decide to face Oyo, and I'm facing Maiduguri, and I go to Obama, cross Sambisa Forest, and I'm entering into Chad Republic, and I said I'm going to Lagos, would I ever get to Lagos? I'm walking contrary. I'm moving in the opposite direction. The scripture cannot be broken. So as long as we are not working as per the scripture, you cannot exercise the power, the glory, the riches, the honor, and the blessings, the wisdom. The scripture cannot be broken. Praise the Lord. He says, if he call them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken. It cannot. And until we start following the scripture, we cannot exercise the fullness of Christ. May God give you the grace to follow the scripture in the name of Jesus. Number two, is because God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is what is accepted with him. He that walketh righteousness is accepted with him. God is no respecter of person. God is a God of principles. And as long as you follow the principles, God obeys. God follows his own path. Praise the Lord. He's not man. You know, I can change my mind because I respect somebody. True or false. I've said I would not do something, but because I have so much respect for someone, I can change my mind and decide to do certain things because of my respect. But God is no respecter of person. He is no respecter of person. Praise the Lord. Number three. If we do, one of the reasons why we are not enjoying this, because if we do what unbelievers do, we will suffer what the unbelievers suffer. Don't say because I've been redeemed, then I can do anything I like. No. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. What that means is walk right. See then that you walk right. You take heed to how you behave, your character. You know, someone was sharing with me early this morning something that a person had. And that person is my wife. She was sharing with me something she heard. And she was telling me that she heard in a program, maybe a radio program or so, somebody was telling three people, and she learned from me. She said, I learned something from something that I saw or heard recently. She said, the three guys went to meet their priest. And when they got to the priest, they said, life is not good. Things are not rosy. Nothing is happening. And the man said, oh, after praying for them, he said, oh, I know your problem. He said, to one of them, he said, you are very stingy, you don't give. So the other person said, you are full of bitterness. And to the third person, he said, you are unthankful, ungrateful. And these are the things that is affecting each of them. And when she explained it, I said, you are right. Praise the Lord. A man of no integrity cannot want to assess favor. If you're a person that lacks integrity, favor will start drawing away from you. You say, but everybody is doing it, then I needed to do it. Every time you do what is not right, you take away a portion of blessing that is meant for the right. I don't know if you get that. Every time you do something that is unrighteous, you take away a blessing that is meant for the righteous that God has planned for you. For every sin, there is something that it costs you. You may not see it. You may not know it, but it's going to cost you something. There is nothing that you do that is against the plan and the purpose and the scripture of God that does not cost you. It will cost you something. It may not be visible now. It may not even be tangible, but it's going to cost you. I was talking to a young man the course of the week, and I told him, I said, it's cheaper to say the truth. I said, lie is more costly. Lie is more costly. Or you don't know. It's more expensive to tell lies. Because when you tell one lie, you will have to tell another one to cover that one. Then you tell another one to cover that one. And each time you are losing something, it's going to cost you more. But when you say the truth will set you free. When you say the truth, you pay the price once. Praise the Lord. So you can't expect God to bless you and to separate you when you are working and you are doing what the unbelievers are doing and you say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God understands. God doesn't understand sinners. He said his eyes is cannot behold iniquity. So how does God understand? Even me, as a mortal man, there are some things that you can't explain to me that I will understand. I will not understand. That's the truth. I can't understand somebody being a drunkard and you come and tell me that somebody is smelling alcohol all over. And you say he doesn't drink. How do you want me to understand? Somebody is reeling. He's reeling alcohol, oozing. And you say, oh, daddy, he doesn't drink. Oh, he doesn't drink. I will not understand. Praise the Lord. You know, yesterday, one of the officials, the road safety officials, stopped me while I was driving home from the church. And after checking all my papers and everything, okay, so they gave me everything back and I said, you can go. So I wanted to know, why did you stop me? Why? So the guy said, oh, you want to know? Said, oh, your wiper, one of it is off. And I said, yes, it's true. It actually came off when I was going to church earlier, some hours earlier. You know the answer the man gave me? He said, how do you want me to understand that when I was not there? How do you want me to understand when I was not there? And I got the message that God does not understand what God does not behold. God, you say God understands sin. God can understand my weakness. Which weakness? He has given you power, authority, sound mind. Say, God understand my, it's my weakness. Which weakness? God does not understand such. Does he understand? So when the man said, oh, I said, I got the message. If a man will tell me that, how much more? God said, I'm not there. So how do you want me to understand? I said, sorry, sir. Thank you. Immediately, I quickly enter my vehicle and I move before they change their mind. I said, oh, yeah, they are charging me for something. I enter quickly and I drove off. Praise the Lord. You see, a lot of time we take God for a ride. Think that God is one small child or one old man. Old man. Now, does he understand the grammar and the English that we speak now? So we go to him and we speak so many things. It's like a child coming to me, the grandfather, and say, I want to buy photosynthesis. Tomorrow, I want to buy diffusion. They say we should buy osmosis. And the grandfather keeps giving him money. We think God is like that. The Bible says he's the all-knowing God. Praise the Lord. So you can't expect God. And that's why the Bible The Bible expressly made us know, he said we should walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. Walk as what is designed for you. Don't walk in contrary to who you are. Don't let your behavior be contrary to who you are. Papa was speaking to me. I was talking with Papa last night. And as we were talking together, he said something to me. He said, a lot of time we criticize our leaders. But we ourselves, are we walking the way we should walk? Are we doing what is expected of us? And that question I leave you with. Are you doing what is expected of you as a child of God? Are you walking circumspectly as a child of God? As a believer? Are we walking the way God wants us to walk? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning I pray that the Lord will open our heart and expose us to the riches of His word, thereby leading to our destiny declaration in the name of Jesus. As we go on, we'll be looking at how to assess the heritage of destiny declaration. How do we assess this heritage? To assess destiny declaration heritage, you must overcome compromise. You must overcome compromise. That's number one. You must overcome compromise. Praise the Lord. How do we assess destiny declaration? Number one, we have to and avoid and we must overcome compromise. What is compromise? Number one, compromise means settling for something lower or something of lesser standard. Settling for something of lesser standard. If there is one among many, many things that I've learned from Papa, that is, he doesn't compromise quality. The man of excellence. He doesn't compromise quality. And it shows. It shows. A lot of time we compromise and we settle for something lesser. We settle for something lesser. Something of lesser standard. Let's manage it. Let's manage it. And that phrase, let's manage it, has conditioned the mindset of a lot of people. Such that we don't tend to exhibit the excellence grace that has been given to us. We lower our standard. We go for something cheaper. Something of less quality to who we are. Compromise number two means accepting standards lower than what the word of God has stipulated. Accepting standards lower than what the word of God has stipulated. And a lot of time we do this because we want to get favor. Man cannot favor you unless God gives him the grace to favor you. Man can't favor you. Because man is not designed to favor. Man, by the fall of man lost the ability to favor. An unregenerated man, unchanged man, cannot favor except God gives him the grace to favor. The Bible said the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? His thought daily are evil. So how do you want the evil thought or the man with evil thought to favor you? So you would, as a lady, you say, if I lower my guard and allow him to do what he wants, he will favor me. Who says? He's not going to favor. Lowering standard does not bring favor, neither does it guarantee upliftment. So you don't lower your standard than what the word of God has stipulated, and you want to enjoy grace for destiny decoration. No. Joseph could have lowered his standard and agreed to be Madame's boy. I tell you, Joseph will start eating the best meat in the house. You don't think so? Because Madame is the one that is in charge of the kitchen. So Joseph will eat anything he wants, but that's the best he will have. That's the best. Now, by lowering the standard, by accepting to sleep with the madam, he will never assess the decoration of his destiny that God has programmed him for from the beginning. Praise the Lord. How many of us know that at a point, Potiphar, the husband of madam, became a servant to Joseph? You don't know. Read the Bible very well. Potiphar was the chief of guards to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made Joseph to be what? The prime minister. Automatically, and the Bible made it clear to us that Pharaoh made him to ride in his, what, gave him his chariot and everything. So the chief of guard to the president becomes the chief servant to him. He start commanding Potiphar. Somebody that Potiphar was commanding earlier. If he has agreed to lower his standard by sleeping with madam, he will remain under Potiphar for life. May you not lower your guard and throw away your destiny. In the name of Jesus. A young lady with a glorious destiny that decides to lower her standard just to get what we remain for just a while. Myself and one of our beloved sons in the ministry, we traveled in the course of the week to do some assignment. And we got a particular garage. And I saw a 1950-something Benz. You know those Benz? Those Benz of those time. Packed in the garage with no tire. But the thing was just looking at me. And I asked the young man, I said, if I dash you this car now, will you accept it? I love the answer he gave me. He was very candid. He looked at me, said, Pastor, I will not accept it. And I said, why? He said, because it's not useful. It's not useful. And I told him, I said, do you know that some people died because of this car? Some people throw away their destiny. How many of us know that some people throw away their destiny because of mobile phone? When did it first enter Nigeria? When it first came? Some guys died, some ladies died, people died because of mobile. If you see the mobile phone of those times, if I give you now, you will give it back to me. If I give you the mobile phone that first came, the best of them all was 3310. That was the best. If I give, that was the best of them all. There was one, I won't mention the name of the company, that used to show one blue light like this. The blue light was just blinking. Very heavy thing like that. I didn't ask you to mention the name. The company has even folded up now. And some people died because of that. The thing is not existing again. Some people threw away their destiny because of that. If I give that to David, not my own David, the other little David, he will see it as a toy. I'm telling you. Because now they know the flat screen. If I give that to Cash, she will just look and I said, Daddy, what is this? And give it back to me. Because now she is used to the one that the screen is flat. Praise the Lord. So why do we need to throw away our destiny because of something that does not glorify God? Compromise is accepting momentary gain to suffer eternal pain. Momentary gain, that's compromise. Esau was an example. Compromise, momentary gain. A lot of people, because of just little thing that they will get for the moment, they throw away something that is eternal. Something that is intangible for something that is tangible. There's a story of a bird, one little bird, with beautiful feathers, singing beautiful songs on a tree. And one day the bird saw a man with a box in his hand and wanted to know what was in the box. The man told the bird, that little bird, that look, if you want to have what it has, then you must do something. I want to know. The man said, oh, what is inside the box is earthworms. Earthworms. And you know birds love earthworms. And he said, I can give you one earthworm for every feather of your beautiful feather. So for every earthworm, the bird loses one beautiful feather. For every earthworm, one beautiful feather. After a while, the bird traded all the feathers and lost her beauty. It lost her beauty. Not only losing her beauty, it's exposed to attacks of the enemy. Because now, the element of nature, mama the bird, and the bird dies. The heat, because the feather is not only to provide beauty, but to also protect. That is the way a lot of people do for money, momentary gain. They give. It looks rosy. It looks nice. One plate of shawarma or pizza looks nice. Then your bed, your back is flat on the bed. It's nice. Momentary gain. But as you are giving, you are losing. As you are giving, you are losing. You are not only losing the beauty, which is the glory, you are also losing destiny and you are exposed to the attack of the enemy. Say, whosoever broke the hedge, the serpent will bite. May God give us wisdom in the name of Jesus. That is what happened with compromise. That is what happened with compromise. Examples of people who compromise. Number one, like I said earlier, was Esau. He sold his birthright for food. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 to 17. Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau. Can you see that? God, the Bible is likening Esau to a fornicator or profane person. Say profane. You know what I mean of a profane person? As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. It's not even for a cow. It's not for a cow, just a morsel of meat. He sold his birthright. For ye know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Momentary gain, just to satisfy his hunger. A lot of young men have lost their destiny just because of a plate of soup. Yeah. Just a plate of soup. The Bible said, he sought for it with tears. He sought for it with what? With tears. Yet he didn't get it. May we not lose that which will bring about decoration of our destiny in the name of Jesus. Number two, King Solomon. Wonderful man of wisdom. Maybe you will say, Esau, Kogoni. Kogoni. Kogon. He's a fool. Kogon. That's why he did what he did. If I were him, I would trick my brother and get the food. Let's look at somebody with wisdom. King Solomon. The Bible said he went into immorality. If you look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5, downward. It says, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonites, and Milcom, the abomination of the Harmonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, the God of his father. Why? Because he went after strange women. He compromised. The word of God has said, you don't marry from these people. But because of his lust and his desire for women, he went after women of strange land and they corrupted his mind. And the Bible said he went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonites. And Milcom, the abomination. Can you see that? The abomination. Something that is an abomination of the Harmonites. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it cost him. Read your Bible very well. It cost him. Though he repented and all that, but it cost him. Praise the Lord. Brethren, walking against God in any form will cost you. To cost you. May we not walk in a path that will take away the decoration of our destinies in the name of Jesus. Number three is Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. They compromised by telling a lie. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11. Time will not permit me to read the entire story. These people, they sold a possession of theirs. It's their own. It's not that it's another person, it's their own. They have the power to say, this is what we want to give. Nobody is forcing anybody. But they kept part a portion and they told a lie. And Paul even, and Peter, Apostle Peter even gave an opportunity for them to quickly make amends, but they refused. Like I said earlier, lie is costly. It's expensive. May you not tell lie like these people that will cost you your life in the name of Jesus. Lie is costly. It costs the husband and the wife their life. They compromise the standard. And they pay dearly for it. Number four is Cain. Cain. He compromised in his giving by giving a low standard offering. Genesis chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. He gave a low standard offering. See, your offering is as God gives you the grace. It's by your level. Somebody can give 1,000 naira. And that person might have given more than somebody that gave 10,000 naira. You know why? The person that gave 10,000 naira may actually have the capacity to give 100,000 and he gave 10,000. While the man that gave 1,000 naira has just the capacity to give 1,500 and he has given 1,000 naira. He has given more if you put it value for value. Praise the Lord. So, Cain gave an offering that was below standard. He compromised. And in the process, killed his brother and got upon himself a curse. Praise the Lord. What are the effects of compromise? Number one, it makes one lose relevance. When you compromise, you lose relevance. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send it to Jesse the Bethlehem, a mite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Saul lost relevance because he compromised standard. He disobeyed. Don't do what will make you to lose relevance in your place of work. And you know the painful part is, you have been doing very well before. The day you misbehave, everybody forget about all the well and the good that you have been doing. That's how bad it is. So it's better to just remain faithful till the end. Praise the Lord. You will not lose relevance in the name of Jesus. I say you will not lose relevance in the name of Jesus. Number two, compromise is a killer of destiny. Compromise is a killer of destiny. That was what killed the destiny of Samson. Compromise killed the destiny of Samson. Was destined to be a great ruler, but he lost it because he compromised. Number three, compromise complicates destiny. Compromise complicates destiny. May your destiny not be complicated in the name of Jesus. Don't compromise in anything. Don't compromise because it will complicate issues. It will make things more difficult. Number four, compromise causes shame and humiliation. Compromise causes shame and humiliation. Samson was humiliated. He was grinding pepper for his enemies. You will not grind pepper for your enemies. You will not be an errand boy, errand girl for your enemies. In the name of Jesus. In the place of honor, you will not be humiliated in the name of Jesus. Compromise, number five, right? Corrupts destiny. Compromise corrupts destiny. Number six, compromise makes a person lose relevance. I've said that earlier. It makes a person to lose what? To lose relevance. You will not lose relevance in the name of Jesus. You will not lose relevance in the name of Jesus. Quickly, how to overcome compromise? Number one, live a life of self-discipline. Can we turn our Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Live a life of what? A life of discipline. A life of what? discipline. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may what? That ye may obtain. Run that ye may obtain. Verse 25, please. Run that ye may do what? Ye may obtain. We are all running. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. What? In all things. That is discipline. If you strive for mastery, you have to be disciplined. Now they do it to obtain a what? A corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible crown. He that strive for mastery is temperate. That is disciplined in all things. Discipline in all things. Discipline in all things just for the corruptible crown. Those that run maybe 100 kilometers, I don't know. Anybody run 100 kilometers? I don't know. That's 100 meters. There are some food that you and I will eat, they will not eat. Not because it's a sin for them not to eat, but because they don't want to eat so that they can be fit. If I want to run a race now, tomorrow, then my wife has prepared pounded yam this month. Today, morning, I ate pounded yam. Afternoon, pounded yam. Night, pounded yam. In the morning, before going for the race, I loaded pounded yam with egusi soup. Of course, you know the position I will take. I don't need to tell you. You know the position. Because I'll be heavy. And I love pounded yam. But I have to discipline myself. A first-class student will not behave like a third-class student and say, the grace of God covers me. I will have first class. It's not possible. That's the truth. We used to say some people are genius. You can be a genius. Don't read. You will not be genius. That's the truth. You are a genius, but you are not reading. You don't read at all. You don't study. You don't go to class. You are just flexing. Enjoying. Then during this, I said, I'm a genius. Papa has prayed for me. Pastor Moshebi has prayed. Said, none will fail. I will not fail. You will fail. The person will fail. That's the truth. The person will fail. And those pastors don't have anointing. It's a lie. There's anointing in the house. It is because you don't do what we enhance the anointing to work in your life. Say, I carry favor. Labro Shataka. We have been anointed last week. Because of this, I know I will not go early to work. I will go 10 a.m. When my boss challenges me, I will tell him that my pastor have anointed me. I'm an anointed. Touch not the anointed. And do my prophet know if you want to harm me? I'm anointed. They will sack you. With the anointing, you'll be sacked. You'll be sacked. You'll be sacked quickly. In fact, I will support the sacking. Because if I were your boss, I would sack you also. So you don't do things. You don't live a life of indiscipline and you want to reap the reward of discipline. No, it doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. Number two, be heaven conscious. Be heaven conscious. Be heaven conscious. Be heaven conscious. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, Matthew 24:13 says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So seek heaven, be heaven conscious in all you're doing. Number three, possess a working conscience. Possess a working conscience. Be hardworking. The Bible have said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, that he will make us the head and not the tail. But we must do and observe all that he has commanded us. That is work. Number four, desire to have a good name at all time. Integrity. A good name is better than riches and gold. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. It's better. Number five, give yourself to the study and the practice of the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let the word of God rule your heart. Let the word of God fill your heart. Let the word of God be your compass that guides you, that directs everything you do, and your destiny shall be decorated gloriously in the name of Jesus. I said the Lord will decorate your destiny gloriously in the name of Jesus.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.